Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27, and verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And the subject this morning is the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend. Well, these words in the book of Proverbs are the words of King Solomon, who lived and reigned over Israel around 950 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. This is, of course, Old Testament. He was the son of King David, who is perhaps a more famous biblical king. But Solomon, too, was a great king, a prosperous king, one who reigned over a very successful period of Israel's history. But above all, he was a wise king. That is what he is known for. He's known for his wisdom. God gave him a remarkable gift of wisdom. Indeed, that is what Solomon asked of the Lord, for wisdom to rule his people in the right way. And so God gave him that wisdom generously and freely, and he became renowned as a man of wisdom, not just in Israel, but in all the nations round about, known as the wisest man who had ever lived. And while we have evidence of his wisdom before us in the scriptures, written down for us in this book of the Proverbs and in two other books of the Old Testament, Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, these were written by Solomon at various points in his life. So even though he lived such a long time ago, we can still benefit from his glorious wisdom. Although, of course, we acknowledge and we have to understand that ultimately his wisdom comes from God. It's not really his wisdom, it's that wisdom that God gave him so freely. And this indeed, of course, ultimately is the word of God. But I want to look at this verse, the sixth verse of chapter 27, because these words are so glorious, so deep and profound, and so intriguing at the same time. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. These words describe the actions of a friend and an enemy, but they describe them in an unusual way, in a way that we wouldn't normally describe these things. We speak of the wounds of a friend. This is what is written here, the wounds of a friend. Well, you think to yourself, would a true friend wound us? Would a true friend harm us or do anything to cause us harm? These words seem quite mysterious when we take them at surface value. The wounds of a friend. This is not how we would define somebody who is a friend. We would most likely describe an enemy in this way. An enemy would be someone who wounds us. But King Solomon says that an enemy can just as well kiss us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. An enemy kiss us? An enemy show to us affection, concern, even love? Is this possible? Well, this is what King Solomon writes. But of course, we have to note that last bit. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And perhaps we can understand this to some degree. I'm sure many of you are aware that it is possible for people to be very kind to us, to be very generous to us, to be very giving and soft and gentle with us. And yet they're doing it with a hidden agenda. They're doing it to manipulate us. They're doing it so that they can get something out of us. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Their kindness, well, it's to manipulate us. We see this sometimes with politicians, not just politicians, but they're exceptionally good at this. When a politician at election time wants to be voted for, well, he will kiss the electorate, as it were. He will say very nice things about everyone. He will stroke us. He will say to us, oh, if you vote for me, I will do this for you. Or I will do that for you. I love all of you. I have your best interests as a priority in my heart. He kisses the electorate. But really, he has a hidden agenda. He's only after your vote. He only wants to get into power. Once he's in power, he'll do whatever he wants. He doesn't care about his promises to you. So the kisses of an enemy can be deceitful. People are so very nice to us, and yet these things are so deceitful. But politicians and other people, they so often use these tactics because they know how easily we fall for them. How easily we fall to these tactics. We love to be flattered, do we not? Every single one of us. We love to be flattered. We love to have our egos stroked. We like to be told we're intelligent people, even when we're not really. We like to be told we're successful people or brave, courageous people, even when we're not. We just like to be told that. We like to be flattered in that way. It could be anything, wise people, even when we're not. We like to be slightly deceived about who we are and what we're like. We're like that, and we fall for that. We don't want people to be too honest about us. That's what we don't want. We love flattery, but we don't want people to be too honest about us. We have that phrase, that term, somebody can be brutally honest. Brutally honest. It's interesting that we use that. We never say somebody can be a brutal liar. We never really use that. But somebody can be brutally honest, as though it's the truth that can hurt us the most. It's the truth that wounds us, brutally honest. And we don't like people being honest about us. We don't like the truth. The truth may well be that we have good things about us and strengths about us, but the truth is also that we have many weaknesses about us, and we don't like to hear about those things. We have many faults. There are many things that we have done wrong in our lives. We don't like to be reminded about these things. There are things that we still do wrong in our lives. Things in our lives that are totally wrong, in our characters. And whenever anyone confronts us with this, we don't like it. We get very defensive. They wound us. We're offended by these things. We prefer the kisses of an enemy. And that is why politicians and so forth go and do these things and deceive us in this way. This is, of course, why the Bible, why the Word of God, the Word of Truth, is not very popular nowadays. It's increasingly pushed to one side, because we all know that the Bible does not flatter us. The Bible does not flatter us like we like to be flattered. The Bible did not flatter King Solomon. Let's speak about him just for a few moments. Yes, King Solomon was very wise. The scriptures tell us that. But the scriptures also tell us that he went away from the Lord, that he took many wives, that which he ought not to have done, that he built idols to other gods. The scriptures tell us the truth about King Solomon. Doesn't flatter him in any way, even his father, King David. King David, of course, was a mighty king, writer of many of the Psalms, a type of Christ, even. But the scriptures in great detail tell us about how he committed adultery and how he arranged for the husband of the one whom he had committed adultery with to be murdered on the battlefield. Doesn't flatter King David. It's brutally honest about King David and about King Solomon. And likewise, of course, the scriptures tell the truth about us. They do not flatter us. The scriptures tell us we are sinners. Sinners by birth. And we are rebel sinners in so many ways. And the scriptures teach us that because we are sinners, there is no way we can be accepted by God as we are. And that hurts us. That wounds us. These things we do not like to hear. And this is why the scriptures are increasingly pushed to one side. They wound us in so many ways. We read about God's holy standard, about the Ten Commandments. When we hear these commandments, you know, they do hurt us. When we read the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, we can put it. Well, it just reminds us of all the times that we have lied. It reminds us of all the times we've been dishonest, and it's difficult for us to bear. Honor thy father and mother, that's one of the commandments. When we contemplate upon that, well, we know in our hearts that there are so many times we haven't honored our parents and disobeyed them. That first commandment, the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, when we hear that, does that not convict us? Doesn't comfort us? We are reminded instead of all the times we've put so many things before God. God was at the very bottom of our list. These things trouble us and hurt us and wound us. But these words, well, they are the words of a friend. They are the wounds of a friend. This word of God, yes, it may wound us, but they're the wounds of a friend. They're the word of God. And God is concerned about us. God is concerned about our sin, about where we are heading. So when he speaks to us the truth, yes, it hurts us, but they're the wounds of a friend. You know, a true friend, if he sees something wrong with us, if he sees that we're going the wrong way, if he sees that there is something wrong with our character, we're heading for disaster, he will tell us. He will speak to us. He will say, you have to stop. You have to amend your ways. Even if he's hated for it, even if he's told off for it, he loves that friend and he will say, look, I have to say this. It may hurt you, but I'm your friend. And I want you to stop, and I want you to amend your ways. The wounds of a friend wants you to turn from the way that you are heading, from your disastrous destination. And this is what the word of God is, and this is what is implied in this verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy. Well, we have a spiritual enemy. Of course we do. Satan is a spiritual enemy of us all. And we know that Satan exists. I always have to affirm this. Satan is a true being, a true person. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke many times about Satan, one of whom we have to beware. And he is a spiritual enemy. And you know what he does? Well, he kisses us. He is a great deceiver, and he kisses us to deceive us. You know, when we look at this world in this present time, there is so much immorality, there is so much sin, and so much corruption. So many things, long-established norms and standards, are falling by the wayside nowadays. Everything is being redefined. Terrible things are happening. And when people see these things, and I include unbelievers, when people see these things, I know that their consciences are troubled. They see things going on, and their consciences are greatly troubled. But you know what Satan does? Through his influence, through the media, through education, even through the government. You know what Satan does? Oh, he just kisses us better. He says to us, oh, don't worry about all these things that you see, about all the immorality and how everything's being turned around and redefined. Don't worry about all these things. Don't listen to all the Christians who tell us that these things are wrong. You're better than those Christians. You're more tolerant than those Christians. You're more liberal. You're nicer people than the Christians. He kisses us so that we forget all about it. Whenever somebody's conscience is troubled, you can bet that Satan is there to kiss it better. And this is what Satan does. We see it in our society. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Dear friends, I have to say this because this is affecting us. Remember how we have to remember. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he was betrayed to death. One of his own followers, one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him. How did he betray the Lord Jesus Christ? It was with a kiss. It was with a kiss. Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, remember? And well, he went and got a multitude of people to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the Mount of Olives and he kissed the Lord Jesus. And well, we well remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This is Satan's way. And we have to beware of it. Don't let Satan kiss you all the way to hell, all the way to death. Is that what he's doing to you? Deceiving you with all the things that are going on in this present society, presenting this world as something that is wonderful, beautiful. Oh, this world will make you feel good. Satan is kissing you all the way to death. Spiritual, eternal death. That is his way. And we have to beware of these things. But dear friends, I have to move on very quickly because time is almost out. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but let us close thinking on the first part of that verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because these words, if we apply it in a slightly different way, these words remind us of Christ and of his salvation. Well, Christ, yes, he was betrayed by Judas, by Satan, as it were. But you know that Christ, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. Christ going to the cross, that was planned even before the foundation of the world. Before the world was even created, Christ determined to come into this world and to die for his people. And we know in the scriptures, in Isaiah 53, what do we read? Christ was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. Christ was wounded. Christ, who is our greatest friend, the wounds of a friend save us. The suffering that he endured was for our sin. Every Christian understands that. That is the true Christian faith. Every Christian knows that when Christ suffered on that cross, it was for me. It was for me. My sins have caused thee, Lord, to bleed. As one hymn writer so wonderfully put it, my sins have caused thee to bleed. Christ is on that cross for me, taking the punishment upon himself so that I may be forgiven, so that I may be made right with God. Every Christian knows that those wounds that he bore on the cross, will they save me? They save me to the uttermost. Those wounds are faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You can trust in the wounds of Christ, in the death of Christ. You can trust in it for salvation, knowing sins are forgiven, knowing that you are right with God, that you have acceptance with God, knowing that you will inherit eternal life. You can put all your trust in Christ in those wounds. Because Christ died, I have everlasting life. I don't need to fear anything at all, not even death. Christ died for me, and I trust in these things. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There is no doubt that when the end comes for me, I will be taken to be with the Lord, because faithful are the wounds of the one who died for me. He was wounded for our transgressions. We are saved by him. This is the gospel. We must believe on these things. Well, is that your belief? I address anybody who is listening to this and who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as I come to this final exhortation. You must come. Think back upon your life. All of us, every single one of us, we have all made mistakes. We have all great regrets in our lives, and the majority of the time it is because of our sin, because of things that we have done, because we were stubborn, because we were obstinate. Think about your mistakes and your regrets and your sins in your past. Don't you ever think to yourself, oh, I wish somebody could have just taken me and shook me up and said to me, don't go that way. That thing that you're about to do, don't do it. You have to amend your ways. You have to stop what you're doing and do the right thing before you make that mistake, which you can't correct. Don't you wish that somebody had stopped you and shaken you? Maybe somebody did and you didn't listen. Well, dear friends, don't make the same mistake with your soul, with your eternal soul. Because if you persist in your rejection of God and your rejection of Christ, there will be a regret that will last forever, eternal regret in hell. Don't make that same mistake. I, as a friend concerned for your soul from the pulpit, I urge you, dear friends, stop in your tracks, repent, and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what these words mean. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is wisdom. This is truth. This is where your salvation is. You must come to the Lord before it is too late. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank thee for our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if we trust in his wounds, in all that he has done on Calvary's cross, O Lord, he is faithful to save us from death and from hell and from eternal regret. Lord, whatever it is that may be stopping us from yielding our lives to thee, O Lord, remove it. Prevent it, O Lord, that we may make an eternal mistake, a mistake that cannot be rectified or corrected. Lord, come in thy saving power and save us all by thy grace. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.